Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
In 49 other states, football is just a game. But this is Wisconsin.
The Green Bay Packers have won the Super Bowl. The Lombardi Trophy is coming home.
Wisconsin fans demand the best analysis, the best interviews, the best coverage, and no one delivers like the Bill Michaels Huddle.
Welcome. We are broadcasting live. We are here at the Red Zone on South Howell. We are in South Milwaukee. Come on by and say hello. The Bill Michaels Huddle is on the air. Bart Winkler alongside from 105.7 FM, The Fan in Milwaukee, our flagship station there. Mike Clemens is here today as well as the Packers. They get ready for the Minnesota Vikings. Vikings come into this game, the defending national, or I shouldn't say National League, the NFC North champion, and
they've
I'm still
got a good
baseball.
Batting average.
Yeah, I'm still thinking baseball. The Cubs and the Nationals tied at 3 apiece right now in the bottom of the 8th. Wouldn't it be great if the Cubs and the Nationals ended up going like 13 innings?
So we could watch the whole game?
That would be fantastic.
So what? And then the hurricane comes in? I mean,
Cubs can't get out. Yeah, that was one of those unexpected things for Major League Baseball. Anyway, that being said, we're broadcasting live down here, and we're brought to you by our good friends at Bud Light. Bud Light, the official beer sponsor of the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network. And, Mike, you were up in Green Bay, so first and foremost, give me your thoughts on Aaron Rodgers and the knee.
He's been hanging around the locker room more than he normally would on a Wednesday and Thursday. So he's kind of showing it off. He's in the locker room for the entire period on Wednesday, and he'll usually come in and talk to us for 15 minutes, and then he's got to go run and grab maybe some lunch or get to another meeting. He'll do a teleconference with a visiting team. But he was in the locker room for almost the entire 45 minutes that we were in there and walking around and, you know, just kind of being there. And there's a lot of national press up there, not only because of what this game was going to have that kind of a draw to begin with, but I think because of what happened on Sunday Night Football. Tom Pelissero was there, who was working at the 10 years ago, Green Bay Press Gazette, then went to Minneapolis and covered the Vikings, USA Today, and now he's on NFL Network, does a great job as a reporter. He's there all week because the Rodgers story is huge nationally. I think just the way it's going to play out is Aaron's got pain. It's probably a sprain, could be a tear, like you were talking about on the show earlier today. But, you know, he's mentally preparing for the game, and then they'll go through the run-through practice where it's all closed off and no media is allowed, and then he'll test it out and see how it is, see how he reacts to it on Saturday night. And, you know, they're going to just drag this out to a game time, a dramatic game time decision Sunday morning, whether or not he's officially out there or not. But I think he's going to give it a go, Bart.
McCarthy said today it was, what, not a layup? It's not a layup that he'll play? Yeah, because I'm pretty sure it's a slam dunk. I don't have any doubts that Rodgers is going to play. This is something that when you have the opportunity to do something like this, I think you do it. Obviously, now on Sunday, if he wakes up and cannot move, then he will not play. So they give him a little leeway for that. But they have a week here where they can, early in the season, when they saw what they saw for a quarter of DeShone Kizer, you can get DeShone Kizer reps with the one. Basically, these are bonus reps because Aaron Rodgers is still going to be out there on Sunday. So, and yeah, if you can do a little gamesmanship, although I don't know how much harder Mike Zimmer and the Vikings are going to try to prepare for someone who's exponentially worse than the guy that they're probably going to face. I think he'll play. I would be shocked at this point if he didn't, but there's no reason to have him out there Wednesday and Thursday if he's in pain. So throw him out there Saturday or Sunday, and then if he can do what he did in the Bears game, I think that's what you're looking for.
The protocol for this, generally speaking, is that Dr. Pat McKenzie has the final say. The general manager has the final say after he reports to the GM. At least that's the way it was before. And I just wondered with Ted stepping down and Brian Gutekunst and McCarthy, if Aaron thought maybe he's got a little bit more say about this. And I talked to him about that. I said, so does this come down to Dr. Pat McKenzie deciding if he can play or not? Or can this kind of be a doctor-patient thing where the doctor's saying, well, here's what you risk if you go out there and play? And he said, well, neither, really. He said, look, I've got a great relationship with the team physician. He's done surgeries on me a couple of times. We're open and honest. And so he knows how bad he wants to get on the field. And McKenzie will basically be straight. He trusts McKenzie to say, if you go out there, you know, this could end your career. So he knows that he's trying to get the player back out there. And so I think it comes down to pain. Aaron says, I don't do painkillers. I don't do opioids for something like that. So the bottom line to this is, can Aaron Rodgers concentrate on throwing the football and having a little bit of mobility and not getting killed by some Vikings linebacker again and still move the chains with tremendous pain in his left knee?
You know, I still go back to what he said on Sunday night. I know he said there's been a lot of speculation about what's happened, and he said, yeah, sprain. Okay, let's stick with that. We know a sprain is a tear of some type, whatever level it happens to be. But when he said, Mike, both Doc and I talked about it, and we figured we couldn't damage it anymore, that was the indicator to me that something popped.
Right. Now,
I think what this is going to happen, this way this is going to play out at the end of the season, we're going to find out he either tore an MCL or tore an LCL, and he's got surgery coming in the offseason, but he played the entire season with it.
With it. It could be that, which means it's going to be a really long season
of
Aaron watch.
Yeah.
Exactly. So, you know, we won't know until he's out there, if he's out there, in the first quarter against the Minnesota Vikings on sometimes slippery Lambeau Field.
I know. Now, let me ask you this. You said you've seen him walking through the locker room. Walking with a limp?
Better. He was really stiff on Monday, but he was letting his presence be felt, doing a little bit better, you know, yesterday. And he seemed to be in better spirits, too. So, you know, he didn't feel like he's talking like he hasn't got the weight on his shoulders, but he knows he's going to be out there with a sore knee, and this could be an issue for weeks to come, and it's just a hassle. You know, it's just a hassle.
One of the interesting things with this whole situation to me is the role of Dr. Pat McKenzie, who to the common fan really became a figure last year during the whole Martellus Bennett situation, where Martellus Bennett said a lot of accusatory things about the way that Dr. Pat McKenzie worked, and Rodgers was one of the first to support Dr. McKenzie about how they have a great relationship and he would never let me out in harm's way. And then based on the comments that Bill was referencing, yeah, you know, we kind of talked about it. I don't see, for everything that I've heard with Dr. Pat McKenzie and their relationship, I don't view him, Mike, maybe I'm wrong on the outside, I don't view him as a guy that would say, yeah, I mean, you might hurt it, so it's up to you. Isn't he a little more strict and tight on matters like this?
Yeah, he's conservative. He has been.
So if Rodgers has a risk of re-injury, that's why if it's got Dr. McKenzie's blessing and Rodgers was out there for the second half, that's why I ultimately think he'll be out there on Sunday, because he was already out there. So the only way I don't see Rodgers being out there on Sunday is if it hurts so bad that he can't physically move. Otherwise, they've already let him play on this, so I expect for him to play in it again.
Maybe it depends on the position, too. I mean, you know, we think about how mobile all quarterbacks are these days in the NFL, at least the new generation of them. You know, you couldn't be Devontae Adams and probably, you know, have any speed at this. You could be Mason Crosby, you know, and still be able to plant and kick. So there's a couple of positions that could get away with this kind of an injury. But, you know, I've never seen anything where I've seen Mike McCarthy frustrated with how conservative things are. But that seemed to be driven more by Ted and now not necessarily under Dr. Pat McKenzie.
I'm looking at this and thinking, okay, you put him out there. But if he starts to get drilled and looks to be immobile and looks like more of a statue like Peyton Manning used to be, and I go back to what Brian Billick said with us a couple of days ago where he said, you know, when you play the Minnesota Vikings, it looks like their team picture is coming after you.
Yeah.
You know,
I just watched some of the game they had against the 49ers. That's a good description.
That's a really good team. I can't imagine that you would then leave him out there, but I agree. I think he's going to play. I think that they're going to, you know, alter not necessarily their game plan, but kind of the way they do things. Very much what we saw in the second half of the ball game. 3 and 5 step drops, quick, get rid of the football, let yards after the catch speak for themselves. Although the Minnesota Vikings are a much more short tackling team than what is in the secondary of the Chicago Bears. But I think that's kind of the game plan. And if I'm Zimmer, I'm sending the house after him. I'm coming after him as fast as I can. Now, granted, he's going to be quick with the reads mentally to be able to find which is the mismatch and who's got single coverage. So he's going to have to give a wink and a nod and a hand waggle and whatever else it is they work off. But that's going to be the chess match. Where is the pressure coming from? Where is the flood coming from? And how quick does Aaron Rodgers pick it up, get rid of the football, without actually getting hurt?
And one thing I haven't exactly figured out yet, and I've watched the game twice now against the Bears, is just how they took Jimmy Graham basically out of the equation. He had a couple of catches, but there was nothing close to the things that we saw in that one burst they had in the preseason and every day in practice. That's a huge weapon that Chicago was able to shut down, I thought.
They double-teamed him, basically. They just said that Jimmy Graham is not going to be the guy to beat us. And I think that's the way they looked at it. And then they figured everybody else gets their opportunities, and late in the ballgame, everybody else made them pay. I mean, Jimmy Graham was a non-factor, but if you watch some of that tape, he was dragging guys across the middle. He was dragging guys outside with him, and he always had somebody else because of it one-on-one, and that's where Aaron Rodgers went in the second half of the ballgame.
Opened up for Geronimo Allison, Randall Cobb, maybe Devontae Adams as
well. If you want to chime in, we're at the Red Zone. We're on South Howell Avenue here in Milwaukee. Come on by and say hi, just south of the airport if you want to track us down. Come on over. Mike Clemens alongside. I'm Bill Michaels. Bart Winkler from 105.7 FM, The Fan, our flagship station out of Milwaukee here as well. When we come back, we got to talk about the defense. We talked a lot about Aaron Rodgers, but got to discuss the two halves of this defense. Stay tuned. We got more of the Bill Michaels Huddle brought to you by Bud Light coming up right after this.
16 stations strong. The Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
Welcome back. We are broadcasting live. We're at the Red Zone. We are here on South Howell Avenue and just south of the airport. If you want to come by here in Milwaukee, say hi. Mike Clemens alongside from NFL Sirius Radio. Bart Winkler from our flagship station out of Milwaukee at 105.7 FM, The Fan, the morning show of Chuck and Winkler here as well. Also taking your thoughts. If you want to hit us up on Twitter, you can do so at @Bill_Michaels, @Bill_Michaels. Mike, what is your Twitter handle?
Mike Clemens NFL.
Mike Clemens NFL. And Bart?
I'm at Winks Thinks.
Okay. All right, I'll go along with that. There you go. I forget that every day. There you go. That's how you get a hold of us if you choose to do so. Defensively speaking, the Green Bay Packers, they gave up 16 points. Didn't look good in the first half, some missed tackles. But, you know, second half of that ball game, what impressed me the most, and we were sitting up in the press box, Mike, kind of watching this, was the young secondary, the young guys, including, you know, Teron Williams along for the ride, but the young guys started making plays, and coverage was really tight.
Mike McCarthy said today, Jair Alexander and Josh Jackson, your first and second round picks, earned their snaps in that game the other night. He said that, in the past sometimes we'll put in young guys, linebackers, put them on some special teams so they get a feel of the game. He says, I'm not doing that right now. We're here to win games, particularly against the Bears and the Vikings for these divisional battles and right there. So he said when you saw Alexander and Jackson out there, that's because they're the best choice for their dime packages or their nickel packages. And did you know Devon House had 0 snaps on defense the other night? He just had special teams. Just special teams. He was standing there at the ready, and 31 did not get into that game.
Kind of figured it would be that way, though. We watched him play last year, and Devon House had his moments, but he wasn't consistently real good.
Yeah, so interesting strategy because, you know, 9 times out of 10, when you're in September, McCarthy and his coordinators, they all put on veterans out there because, you know, until things settle down and or there's injuries, and they start putting guys in later. So Mitch Trubisky, I mean, you know, Matt Nagy had some nice plays dialed up. Tariq Cohen is really dangerous. And Josh Howard just keeps on pounding the rock and pounding the rock. And then they had Kyle Long and Massey. Number 70, Massey, I was nudging Bill in the press box. Like, look, he just destroyed Blake Martinez. The guy is huge. He's got good footwork. and he's running down. He's gone down the second level and just swallowing Packer linebackers back there. I had not seen that kind of effort from a Bears offensive line in quite a while. It was impressive. If Trubisky had not missed on a couple of passes or had a couple of drops, could have been a lot worse. Could have been a lot worse. You saw Allen Robinson put those big paws up there a year off of an ACL and get a couple of catches. So this afternoon, Mike Pettine, defensive coordinator, said, you know, he really relied on Joe Witt and Patrick Graham, his pass coordinator, his defensive run coordinator, to be down the sidelines while he's up in the box talking to Blake Martinez in the headset, for those guys to make the corrections, for Patrick Graham, who's a yeller, to, you know, motivate players to get them to focus or, you know, rethink through things through a very noisy crowd of Lambeau Field. And so here's how Pettine somewhat apologized for the poor start of the Packers defense.
We obviously regret the way that we started, that we were on our heels a little bit and, you know, had some miscommunication and missed some plays. And a couple, I mean, they made some plays as well. You know, their two explosive passes came on. You know, it was tight coverage. They were contested. So, no, and I think our guys were upset with it. But we had talked earlier in the day when we had met, like, this, you know, especially for the young guys, an NFL game is unlike any other roller coaster ride that you've been on. And you have to be able to, it's a great test of mental toughness, that things aren't going to go according to script. And we found that out right out of the gate. But it's a credit to them, you know, to their resolve, that they were able to refocus and learn from it. You know, I think the coaches, assistants on the sideline, especially, you know, Joe Witt and Pat Graham, I thought did an outstanding job with getting them on the prints, on the tablets, and cleaning up what we needed to get cleaned up. And we got a better result, got better results as the game went on.
Now, this is a guy that said, Bart, we don't really need or rely upon the middle linebackers and the linebacking crew because it gets done up front. They rely on pressure from up front to be put on the quarterbacks. Did you see that pressure up front?
No, the pressure needs to be better. There was even three-man rush late in the game. I think they're going to have a better opportunity this week against Minnesota to do that. The Bears' offensive line better as a whole than what Minnesota's going to have this coming weekend. The thing I was most fascinated by with this game is, as much as we've talked about Rodgers and how great the comeback was, which it was, it wasn't possible if the defense didn't shut the Bears down in the second half, which the defense should get credit for that, certainly. But the Bears' game plan in this one, where they were taking offensive linemen and putting them out as wide receivers in the first drive, the run, the touchdown with Trubisky, they had this thing in mind. They had these 15 plays scripted, and then they completely went away from that. Matt Nagy coming over from Kansas City, there's a lot of correlations there. Tariq Cohen can be Tyreek Hill. You can have Trey Burton be Travis Kelce. And then I guess Howard can be
Hunt.
Kareem Hunt. So there's a lot of, like, I had this here, I can do this here. But something that also the Chiefs did, including in the playoffs, was go up big and then let the other team back in. And for the Chicago Bears, watching that game from that perspective, it was almost like, and the two games are so different in terms of stakes, but it was like their 2014 NFC Championship game against Seattle, where you needed 15 things to go wrong when you're up 20-0.
You're right.
Not to win that game. All the way up to the dropped interception by Fuller. The Bears correct one of the 15 things that happened that led the Packers to come back, and they still win that game, and that comeback never happens. But they just couldn't get it done. So credit Mike Pettine's defense for clamping down in the second half, but also a lot of this falls on the Bears and their mistakes and their missed opportunities and the stuff that was working for them in the first half that they got away from, and some really bad game management decisions in the second half, including their final drive.
And then, you know, Bill, a lot of your listeners have been, you know, raising questions and concerns about Clinton Dix and why this guy isn't a bigger playmaker.
Right.
And then, you know, you hear Leroy Butler say, well, it's because he's 25 yards deep, man. You know, what explosive gains have they had over the middle? They got beat. But the guy's doing his job. But then he had a key stop on a third down there in the second half when the Packers were making a comeback.
That was a tackle for loss on an outplay, right?
Yeah.
On a pass play.
Huge stop. And so that's one of those dozen things that the Chicago Bear fans right now are saying, if we'd only gotten this, then we could have gotten the ball out of Rodgers' hands and might have been able to hold on to win this darn
and
thing.
And so Fuller is the last play you remember, just like Bostic's the last play that you'll remember from that Seattle
Kyle
game.
Fuller, a guy that you made a run at.
But
in
it
the
should never have gotten to that point for them.
Yeah, on a Friday, he had that ball's right in his hands. If he holds on to the football, and that was the thing, the knock against him, but if he holds on to that foot, he had eight times he put his hands on the ball last year for the Bears. Two interceptions, six drops. And that was another one to add to his collection the other night against the Green Bay Packers.
He had it not only hit him in the hands, it hit him in the breadbasket.
Yeah.
It slid through his hands into his stomach and out the other end. Yeah. It just, it's like he gave birth to a football.
Right there over the slot area, and it was an easy pick six if he just hung on to the football.
Like if you're doing a drill with Kyle Fuller as a coach where you want to throw it right to the guy, as a coach you're thinking, man, that was a good throw I just gave him. That was like the perfect throw to perfect catch.
I know.
And he still dropped it.
The school carnivals are going to work that up. That's going to be something they're going to do at school carnivals. Next to the cakewalk
is yeah.
the Kyle Fuller, you know, catch
well,
and drop.
Could, it's like if you're your own jugs gun. How fast can you throw it and how much can he drop? You know, if you actually get him to catch it, well, then you're just a sad thrower, I
exactly.
guess.
Exactly.
So moving on to the defensive side for the Green Bay Packers, going back to that for a minute, they did okay against the rush. Now you got a team coming in that had 116 yards rushing. Dalvin Cook like the real deal. Latavius Murray is coming on strong, and he actually looked better than Dalvin Cook coming back, and Dalvin Cook was coming back from that knee injury. They can do a lot of things. They got Rudolph as a tight end. They've got three good wide receivers. They've got a decent and an upgraded offensive line from last year, and now you've got a quarterback who, if you read some of the Star Tribune, who they feel can make different throws and better throws than what they got last year. So now you add it in a rush game, it's kind of pick your poison. What you got to stop the run first, we all know that, and then you force Kirk Cousins to throw the football. But he's been pretty good. He's only had double-digit, and that was 10, the worst year that he had as far as double-digit interceptions. It's not like Jay Cutler where he's going to give you two or three every game. He's going to give you maybe one, and you got to take advantage of it.
You know what? I got a quote here I want to play for you about Mike Pettine. Because those are all great points. Kirk Cousins, the ball comes out of his hands faster than Case Keenum, okay? And I think he could throw the deep ball as well. But that's how they're going to use him, is just higher percentage throws. He gets the ball out of his hands faster. He can do a better job of making pre-snap decisions. But here's the other thing, is that they've got a new offensive coordinator. Pat Shurmur left to become the head coach of the New York Giants. And so they hired John DeFilippo. John was the quarterback's coach with Wentz last year in Philadelphia, and then Nick Foles coached him up all the way through December in the playoffs to win the Super Bowl. He gets hired as the offensive coordinator by Mike Zimmer in Minnesota. Do you know where John DeFilippo, this quarterback, sometimes offensive coordinator, was just 3 years ago? He was working for Mike Pettine as the offensive coordinator of the Cleveland Browns, and Pettine talked about that time that he worked with him in Cleveland.
We worked together, and actually in 2015, I spent the entire year on the offensive side of the ball. So I was in the game plan meetings. He and Brian Angelico was also on that staff. So we spent a lot of time together. So I mean, I know how he thinks, and you know, he and I have had, especially that year, had a lot of, you know, deep conversations about, you know, just football concepts in general. You know, how to I was helping him from here's how to attack a defense, and I was getting his perspective from the offensive side as well. And now that, you know, he spent that time in Philly, so I think he's done a real nice job incorporating a lot of the elements from the Philadelphia offense. You can see it in what the Vikings are doing. It's only enhanced what I thought was a pretty good system back in 2015. So John is smart. He's tough minded. He'll change his game plan each week. It's not like we can just watch the Niners film and say, okay, here's what we're going to get.
Packers defensive coordinator Mike Pettine, John DeFilippo, now the offensive coordinator of the Vikings, worked for Mike when he was the head coach in Cleveland for those 2 years. And Brian Angelico, that guy is now that you're currently the tight ends coach of the Green Bay Packers. He came from Cleveland as well.
Going to go ahead and take a quick break. We're going to come back and talk a little bit more about this matchup between these two teams. The Vikings, they're for real. They're going for it all. They've paid a lot of money to Kirk Cousins. Is he the real deal? We'll discuss when we come back. Broadcasting live in the Red Zone here on South Howell Avenue, as a matter of fact. Mm-hmm. South Milwaukee, come on by and say hello. We're here until 8 o'clock tonight, brought to you by Bud Light. The Bud Light Street team here. Also, we've got more of the Bill Michaels Huddle coming up right after this.
You're listening to the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
What? Welcome back to the program. Bill Michaels Tunnel. We are on the air. We're down here at the Red Zone on South Howe Avenue in Milwaukee. Come on by. Say hello. You can be a face in the crowd. Get registered for some nice Bud Light prizes as our Bud Light Street team is here as well. Mike Clemens alongside from NFL Sirius Radio. Bart Winkler from our flagship station out of Milwaukee, Sports Radio 105.7 FM. The Fan here as well. So, guys, we were talking about Mike Pettine's defense, a little bit about Aaron Rodgers. I'm going to ask you, Bart. I'll start with you. Is Kirk Cousins taking the Minnesota Vikings to the promised land?
I don't think so. I'm not sure how much better he is than Case Keenum, but he can do different things. I like Case Keenum for that team. Kirk Cousins, though, can give you the kind of elite throw that maybe Keenum couldn't. There was the throw, the touchdown to Diggs that he had on Sunday was maybe the second best throw of the week outside of, I'm going to go with Rodgers to Geronimo Allison. But Cousins has moments like that. He also has moments where he looks very average and very plain, but he has enough of those good moments.
Like he's back in Washington.
Yeah, but he has enough of those good moments that the Vikings thought he was enough of an upgrade and they wanted to pay him. And so that's the question from the Vikings. Do you, when there's that quarterback position, there's 32 teams, there's probably only, how many good quarterbacks are there in the league?
Well,
6 to 7.
10. Well, elite, you've got two.
Yeah.
Brady and Rodgers.
How many good quarterbacks are
really
there?
Good quarterbacks. You've got Breeze, you've got Rivers, you've got maybe Ben you can throw into that mix.
Yeah. Matt Ryan, I think, is a little overhyped.
I think he's overhyped. Matthew Stafford is certainly
overhyped.
As
soon as a guy like Watson or Mariota comes up, then something happens to them.
And Carson Wentz, Nick Foles, you got that level. I mean, that's where they're all at. They're all at that level.
We did a poll on the morning show on The Fan in Milwaukee this week, and people voted for Cousins, but we were trying to figure out outside of Rodgers who's the second best quarterback in the NFC North. And I went with Matt Stafford. I think Matt Stafford's a better quarterback. But if you're the Vikings, you get Cousins, you think he's enough of an upgrade over Keenum.
If you put Matthew Stafford on the Vikings, how much better are the Vikings?
I think they're a lot better. Matthew Stafford, Monday night, they got waxed. Okay? But Monday night.
They look terrible.
They got waxed. But Monday night, the first drive of the second half for the Lions, Matthew Stafford just picked apart the Jets. 20 yards here, 20 yards there, 20 yards there with Kenny Golladay and Marvin Jones and Golden Tate, either up-and-comers or retreads. And if Diggs and Thielen are as good as we're told they are, and add Kyle Rudolph to that, and you give them Matt Stafford, I that's a great point. The Vikings
Stafford
would be a lot better with Stafford
since
than
Megatron
the Lions
retired.
Would be Cousins.
True. Didn't Megatron really get him his contract?
To an extent, I still think watching both of those games, I look at Matt Stafford being able to do things that Kirk Cousins can't. I just think that he could, if he was on the Vikings, I would be more worried, for sure.
Is Matthew Stafford light years ahead of, say, Andy Dalton? Joe Flacco.
See, look at this mix we're in. I think that Stafford's better than every one of those four.
We've been watching a lot of Kirk Cousins around here for a long time, and because
2 years ago, that playoff game, the topic was, has Kirk Cousins surpassed Aaron Rodgers?
Yeah.
And then Rodgers was like, no, why are we doing this? And then they beat Washington.
Yeah. No, I'm talking about, I remember Kirk when he played at Michigan State. And he's from Holland, Michigan, too, which is a beautiful town. He's born originally in Illinois. But he would get up to Michigan State, and he looked really athletic, and he looked smart, but he missed on the deep balls that later you would see, you know, Russell Wilson hit to Jared Aberderis and those kinds of things. And you just thought, backup quarterback, right? Did you know he was a backup to Brian Hoyer at Michigan State? I'd forgotten about
right.
that. And then he gets drafted by the Redskins, and they take RG3, and that was in the same draft, I think. And they still had, who was that clown from the Bears?
Mike, that's a very open-ended question.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, Rex Grossman
was
there.
It's like stacking cordwood, Mike.
They had Rex Grossman with the Redskins. Like, he was going to be the starter. Blowing the Bears' shot at the Super Bowl against the Colts. So he had to go through an awful lot of drama. He has continued to work on his craft and improve himself. And then he turns it around when he starts winning football games, and he's got that, you know, you like that kind of a thing. I mean, that, you know, gets the fans all fired up
and
in
now
Washington.
You like that, which he has trademarked.
Are you kidding me?
You Vike that is trademarked by Kirk Cousins as of 2 weeks ago.
Gosh.
He's all about Kirk Cousins. He's always been that way.
See, I always thought he's, you know,
he's a goof.
A likable guy.
He's a doofus.
But, yeah, that sounds like doofus.
Is he better than Cam Newton?
No. Kirk?
Yeah.
No, the thing that I always say about Aaron Rodgers is Aaron Rodgers can do everything any quarterback in the league can do better, except for Cam Newton when he can turn himself into a fullback and run. Otherwise, I think Rodgers can do anything any other quarterback can do. He can do it better. He can be Brady better. We just saw him do that in the second half the other night. No, I would put Kirk in. Cam's a top 10. Kirk, I think, is right in the middle.
I'm just going through the list of quarterbacks, and I'm thinking, you know, you got Garoppolo, who just got schooled. Finally, he ends up losing a game.
Yeah,
and the Magic
too young for a real sample size.
Tom Brady, Matthew Stafford, we were talking about, comparing to, say, Russell Wilson or Derek Carr or Andrew Luck or Case Keenum or Ben Roethlisberger.
I put Kirk Cousins in the Derek Carr camp.
You know,
Some games that he's really good, and he'll make some really good throws. That throw to Diggs, I'm telling you, that's why the Vikings got him.
They admit that.
But they'll also he's also that. Very mediocre 98% of the other time.
At the combine, Mike Zimmer, the Vikings head coach, was asked, "This is crazy. Are you telling me now you've got Sam Bradford, you got Case Keenum, who just got you to the playoffs, you still got Teddy Bridgewater coming back from the horrible knee injury, and you can't decide who your starter is?" And he said, "Listen, you know, Case has done a great job for us this year, but I don't know if he's going to go back to the one that was in St. Louis 2 years ago." And then you got Teddy Bridgewater. You know, we don't really know what that's going to be like after a year and a half. Yeah, he took Zimmer to that playoff game. They lost only because the field goal kicker was wide left in the cold. Was that Blair Walsh?
Blair Walsh,
And that University of Minnesota game in the cold a couple of years ago. Otherwise, they would have gotten they were in a playoff game that year in a wild card. And they lost to the Seahawks. And then for Sam Bradford, he said, yeah, even though he's had two ACLs in the same knee, he said, right now he just called me and he's out skiing in Vail right now. So the knee must be okay. He said, so I've got these three quarterbacks. I don't know what to do. And then, of course, they went and pulled the trigger, let them all go, and they brought in Kirk Cousins for $84 million guaranteed. So Bill's question is this. Can Kirk Cousins take them to the promised land? Well, I'll tell you what. Last year, the Green Bay Packers had Brett Hundley, who had 3 years to train, and I mean, it raised some serious questions about Mike McCarthy, why he didn't have that guy ready, why Alex Van Pelt is no longer back there, even though Rodgers still wanted him as quarterback coach. Meanwhile, you lost your division to a backup quarterback in Case Keenum, and you lost your conference to a backup quarterback who took the Eagles to the Super Bowl and beat Tom Brady. And so the pressure's on these coaches to say, you got to win it whether you got a quarterback or a backup quarterback or not. And I think that Vikings defense might be just good enough. And with Dalvin Cook, maybe they could win the NFC Conference
They don't need Aaron Rodgers to go to the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
The question I would have is, name me every Viking you can that you're worried about before you get to Kirk Cousins.
Yeah.
You name a ton of guys on defense.
Oh, a bunch.
You probably name the receivers first. You're certainly naming Dalvin Cook, Kirk.
Kyle Rudolph.
When do you get to Kirk Cousins? Is he top 15?
That's a good point.
No.
When do you get to him that you say, that guy scares me play them Sunday?
But that goes back to the same thing. What did you fear more going to the Super Bowl a few years ago when Denver was there? Von Miller or Peyton Manning?
Yeah.
It wasn't Peyton Manning. Peyton Manning's better.
Manning then was like Rodgers.
Yeah,
right. This very second, can't move.
See, and that was the year too. The first time that they went when Peyton first got to Denver,
they were the number one offense in the league.
He threw 50 touchdowns. He got through 50 touchdowns, but he ran into the Legion of Boom, and they crushed him. The first play, you know, the ball goes over his head in the shotgun, and they were nervous. They were nervous going into that game because they had played the Seahawks in the preseason. They knew how physical Seattle could be, and then they roll over them. But Seattle scored, 38 on them? The second time they came back, Peyton was half the quarterback he was 3-4 years before, but he didn't need it because he had such a good defense. And they swarmed all over Cam Newton and the Panthers in San Francisco at Super Bowl 50, and Peyton got his second ring.
So if you don't need a quarterback, why do you pay him 85 million?
And he had Wade Phillips.
Yeah.
Wade Phillips won that Super Bowl for the
because
Denver
Peyton
Broncos.
Peyton Manning in his heyday took that team to a championship.
But if you're the Vikings and you don't need Like, the difference between the Vikings not making the Super Bowl and making the Super Bowl, I don't think is going to be Kirk Cousins.
I don't think so either.
To Case Keenum.
I think
so
it's Sheldon Richardson.
Right. He was great.
He's one of the biggest acquisitions they've had.
So why pay $85 million guaranteed to Kirk?
Because you still need somebody to manage the game. You and still need a qualified.
Keenum could do that?
Because just like you said, he couldn't
make
that.
He was in the NFC Championship, though, because of Keenum.
But he couldn't make that throw that Kirk Cousins made.
The one throw.
Yeah, exactly right. If he can do that 16 games, he puts him into the NFC Championship game again.
Maybe the question is this. If they had Kirk Cousins at quarterback, could they beat the Eagles?
I still don't think so.
Well, I don't think so.
Because the Eagles beat the hell out of them.
If the Packers had Kirk Cousins, would they make the playoffs? The answer's I don't know. Probably not.
It's not.
Probably
because
not.
Because your elite of the elite make up.
They're 8-8.
Let's be honest. The elite of the elite, Aaron Rodgers, we've always said it, makes up for the warts that are defensively out there. That's what we've seen. Going to go ahead and take a quick break. We're broadcasting live here at the Red Zone, South Howe Avenue, down here on the south side of Milwaukee. Come on by and say hi. Bart DeWinkler alongside. Mike Clemens is here as well. Want you as a face in the crowd. More of the Bill Michaels Huddle coming up right after this.
Border to border, the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
Welcome back. Hopefully you're having a fantastic day today. Go ahead and give us a shout as we are broadcasting live here at the Red Zone. And if, by the way, we were at the Red Zone in on South Howe, so you can stop by and say hi. I don't know if they hear that or not.
Yeah, I got a beeping noise.
Yeah, we got a beeping noise.
Not sure if we're on the radio.
Our battery is hot. I think this is the same thing, the same unit I was using when I got zapped by lightning.
So. Oh, it is.
I'm leaving.
Oh, that makes me feel
suddenly
good.
I remembered I got to pick up my non-existent kids.
Yeah, so we'll see if it happens. So. We'll get Will, our engineer, see what's going on. I wonder if I think we're the only ones that hear that, to be honest with you.
Oh, I think we are, too.
Right. It's just going to have to be
just
annoying
a little
for
beeping
a while.
Noise.
Yeah, it sounds like we're getting a weather update.
So,
someone's stuck at sea, and we got to get out there.
I thought maybe it was Hurricane Florence was making its way into the Milwaukee area. South Howe Avenue, that's where you can find us. We're live at the Red Zone. Stop by and say hi. Mike Clemens alongside. Also, Bart Winkler coming up in the next hour. Also, the bottom of the next hour, we're going to make our picks as we start to roll through.
I've got a big upset.
Do you really?
Big time. Upset of the week.
Are you talking the Patriots?
No.
Okay.
A bigger one.
Bigger than the Patriots?
You'll probably kick me out.
The Bills are going to win?
Okay, so Mike said it. That's my upset.
That's your
really?
Upset?
Oh, yeah.
Well, we'll save it. We'll save it for later.
The Bills at home? Oh, well, yeah. The Chargers are coming from the West Coast.
That's
they never play well.
That's what I'm saying.
West Coast, East Coast.
Good job, Mikey.
There you go.
Mikey, good job.
Well, it's just because of
how I had to look at the matchups there real quick.
Week,
so. I know. I've been trashing them all week. I don't have any stake in the Bills at all. Money,
right.
Fandom. And, like, they make me angry what they're doing. Getting rid of Tyrod Taylor, starting Nathan Peterman for no reason. So, yeah.
Yeah, he's weird.
Yeah,
he just weird. Is. But I'm a Josh Allen fan. I get to meet all those quarterbacks at the combine, and he was my favorite out of all those. Big number 17. He's kind of like a Ben Roethlisberger Jr. to me. I think he's got potential. Big heart, you know, good kid. So, we're talking about some of the injuries that today for the Green Bay Packers. Devontae Adams got on the field. Limited, said he, on one of his runs after the catch, kind of banged his shoulder a little bit. And so he said, you know, the adrenaline let him get through the rest of the game. But Monday he was feeling pretty bad.
What about the defensive guys? Are they going to get in there?
Oren Burks talked to him today, and he told me about, they're that warm-up against the Raiders, and they're just doing a normal contact drill, linebacker on linebacker, basically to get your shoulder pads going. And he felt something pop in his like left shoulder, and it's like, what is that? And he ended up missing the next couple of weeks. But Oren Burks is limited. He might get out there for special teams this week. Josh Jones has still got an ankle injury, and I don't know anything about that. And I haven't seen him in the locker room. And, of course, it's Aaron Rodgers. On the Vikings side, you got Alexander McKenzie, the corner. He had full participation, but he's coming off an ankle injury. Pat Elfin has got an ankle and shoulder, limited participation. Everson Griffin He's got a toe. He was limited today, but he's their big defensive end. Rock Thomas is a running back with an ankle injury. Full participation today, though. And Trey Waynes, he had to leave the game after 24 snaps in their win over the 49ers. And so it was that Mike Hughes kid that they took, like the 30th pick overall in the first round. He came in. He's really fast. And I think he got a pick six.
He did, and Waynes had a really nice play on Pettis in the end zone to break up a should-have-been touchdown
Trey
for
Waynes,
San Francisco.
The Kenosha product. So he had a knee injury, but he's been able to participate, and he saw what Mike Hughes did, and he's going to get back on the field, make sure he doesn't lose his job.
Do you think they get Oren Burks back on the field this week?
Maybe special teams, number 42. Yeah. The kid that they lined up at inside linebacker that got all those extra snaps when Jake Ryan went down, the former safety. Big kid, a really good lateral move, but, Mike Patton kind of slowed us down and said, whoa, I know he looks like he's flashing during the preseason games and in practice. He's making a lot of mistakes. He's just a rookie that's learning right now, so wasn't that. But we were so impressed that they put the radio helmet on him, and it seemed like he was making some big plays
right
during the preseason games.
Going to go and take a quick break here at the top of the hour. When we come back in the next half hour, we'll talk a little bit more about some of the guys on the injury list. Also, we're going to make our picks as we start to roll through the games, even tonight's game, Baltimore.
And my biggest concern about playing the Minnesota Vikings on Sunday afternoon.
And Mike's biggest concern about the Packers playing the Minnesota Vikings on Sunday afternoon.
It's not what Joe Philbin had to say today, Bart, by any means. You're not going to like
it. Well, you spoiled my upset
Mike
tease.
Mike and Joe went and got chili today.
Oh, yeah?
So, yeah. So,
did you go to Long John Silver's down the street?
Where the hell you get chili at Long John Silver's?
What do they serve there? When's the last time you were
fish
there?
What
are you,
oh,
are you following me now?
Fish and chips. Then again, it's probably one of those combo places. It's probably got a Taco Bell next to the other side of it. So then you can get some chili on that side. Going to go and take a quick break. We're at the Red Zone on South Howe here in Milwaukee. Stop by and say hi. Mike Clemens alongside.
Hey.
We've got more.
Give it up.
Right after this.
That's Bill Michaels.
Station strong, the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s?
It's better over here.
Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.